Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. CATS, champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Go Big Blue!
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
All right, welcome back in. It's another week of the Podcats. I'm Kenny Colston, alongside with me,
Chris Littrell.
And you know what? I know we lost this week. I know we lost this past weekend, but I gotta say, I'm impressed.
I am shocked. Oh, ye of little faith. That's me.
So, on this week's episode, we're obviously going to recap the UK-UofL game and our thoughts on that. Do our normal player of the week, stat of the week, everything like that. We'll get in. There's a bye week coming up, so we're going to have to find something else to talk about. Luckily, I think it's about time for basketball.
A little
season.
Round ball.
So, there we go. This week's episode, if you're tuning in, thank you for tuning in. A little bit of football, UK-UofL, getting into basketball. Let's start with football, because that's the latest game. They're just now starting practice for basketball. So, all right, 27-13. I didn't predict that score last week.
Me neither.
I thought it was going to be in the 40s. You thought it was going to be in the 40s.
49-17.
Yeah, you said Charlie Strong could pick his score. I'm not sure that's the score Charlie Strong would have picked.
I doubt he picked that one.
So let's start from the very beginning. Let's start with the first half. And we're not going to go play by play, because if you haven't seen it by now, why are you even listening to the show? But we thank you for doing so. First half went about as well as it could have defensively. In fact, it was the best defensive performance I think we've had in maybe a decade.
Your scenario for what UK would have to do to win was coming true in the first half.
Exactly right. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater was absolutely rattled. And I'm not saying that as a big UofL hater.
Oh,
I
no,
am,
he was.
He was clearly rattled. I mean, you want to talk about passing routes. The receiver was going left, and Teddy was throwing right.
Right.
And this is supposed to be a high octane. You're talking about a Heisman contender here. That's not supposed to happen, okay? I didn't see that too many times with Johnny Manziel or A.J. McCarron.
No.
No, those guys were right on. I mean, safeties and all that. So, in addition, absolute pressure. I mean, Kentucky, I didn't realize this at the time until later in the game. Kentucky actually changed their defensive alignment for this game.
Loaded up a little bit.
The reason why I couldn't tell is because you constantly had the outside linebackers. In case you didn't know, Kentucky normally plays a 4-3, four defensive linemen, three linebackers. They switched to a 3-4, three defensive linemen, four linebackers. But often in that scenario, a lot of pro defenses play the 3-4. Mm-hmm. Your linebackers play up at the line. And all I constantly saw was four, five, almost six guys always on the line.
Right, right.
Za'Darius Smith was a beast.
He was.
Bud Dupree was a beast. I wonder if we could have done even better if Dante Rumpf hadn't gone down almost immediately. So you're exactly right. Everything that Kentucky needed to do defensively to disrupt Louisville, they absolutely did. I mean, you're talking about one touchdown in the first half. Louisville earned that touchdown. I'll give them that.
Yes.
That was a good. They marched down the field.
Yeah.
It was a good pass in the end zone.
I think it went turnover, touchdown, turnover.
Exactly. And that's the point where it killed us, Chris.
Right.
Those turnovers. Number one, Jalen Whitlow's fumble. To only give up 3 points is a testament to Stoops' defense. And you know what? He is a defensive coach. You know, I wasn't sure. After the Western game, I was not absolutely sure. I'm sold. This guy is a defensive coach, but offensively, there's a lot to do.
Right.
And so, basically, that Whitlow fumble to only give up 3 points was a godsend, but then it just got worse. I mean, the offense could never get it going.
Scored the first touchdown, I think, with, 6 minutes left in the game?
Right, and that was it was almost like it was too easy,
right,
you know, but
right.
You know, the biggest problem Whitlow did have a fumble. Whitlow did have an interception. He didn't play an absolute great game, but he did make plays once Max Smith went down in the second half.
Yeah.
So here's where I see the problem is offensively. It's still the wide receivers. And we talked about this after the Western game. Who to blame all this problem with?
You're coming around on this.
I'm coming around on the wide receivers.
I can feel it coming.
I just can't stand drop passes right in the hands. I mean, it hits you in the numbers.
You have to catch the ball.
In the hands, and it's just, ooh, hot potato. What?
Why can't these guys catch the ball?
Well, you know, that's my question, because these wide receivers, the coach before this was a wide receiver.
Wide receiver coach?
Wide receiver coach? Played wide receiver?
I think he's a wide receiver coach now.
And these guys can't catch the ball, and it's the older guys who were driving. Even Raymond Sanders dropped the ball, and I'm thinking, what if Kentucky could just hold on to the ball, for God's sakes? I wonder what the score really would have been. I'm not saying UK would have won, but I tell you what, I think Louisville would have been a lot more worried than they were third quarter.
Yeah, they might not have had a 14-point cushion with UK driving the ball at the end of the game.
Right. That expanded to 21 at one point. You know, it was 21. So that third quarter, they took control. But those drop passes, I mean, Kentucky was actually doing what it was supposed to do offensively, sans the drops. I mean,
sure.
You had Timmons going across the middle, overthrown. You had A.J. Legrees on a slant route or a bubble screen. Exactly. Louisville blitz right. We go bubble screen left. That's exactly how you're supposed to do it. If you're going to run the bubble screen, which I'm not a fan of, hate the bubble screen.
I am not either. I do too.
But I understand the air raid offense works. That's basically a draw play in the air raid offense,
right,
is the bubble screen. So he drops the ball. I'm not saying it's a touchdown, but gosh, it was a jailhouse break. So absolutely on the needs work on the offensive side. Concerned about Max Smith and this shoulder.
What's the latest?
I think I'm not sure that it's absolutely decided yet. I don't know that we will know because DeMarco Robinson, as far as I know, did not play a snap. We didn't hear anything about him. He actually got injured in the Miami game. Stoops is apparently going to be very quiet on the injury front.
Very Belichick-like.
Yes. Whereas in the past, Joker Phillips and Rich Brooks were pretty honest, I feel like, the scouting report. Stoops is going to hold it close to the vest. I'm fine with that.
Sure.
Not my decision. I'm just a fan here. But it's going to be a problem because Whitlow, I'm not off the Whitlow bandwagon, but I'm not sure Whitlow is an air raid, throw it 60 yards down the field guy. He's a West Coast guy in my mind. He can throw a bullet 15 yards on a slant route. I don't know if the wide receiver can catch it. Ours apparently can't unless you're a freshman. But he does have the running thing. It just depends. I don't know that that Neil Brown, and no offense to him, really knows how to use Whitlow in his offense.
I was just going to say, maybe it's going to come down to Neil Brown has to adjust the offense.
Well, and maybe that's absolutely correct. I feel like it's going to be on Brown. I think Stoops is a defensive guy. I don't know that he really cares that much about offense. Maybe I'm wrong. But this is Neil Brown's offense in my mind. I mean, Stoops is running the show, but Neil's got the reins on offense.
Right. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I think that he's got 100% control over that offense.
Another person very, very excited about on the offense, JoJo Kemp.
Had a great game.
I mean, this guy's a freshman, and he seems to have the right amount of speed and the right amount of power. And this guy is he's a bulldog. I agree wholeheartedly. A pit bull, whatever Mark Stoops called him.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is nuts. And to have him come in, it seems like every game he's coming in the third quarter when these defensive tired are just running wild. I'd kind of be interested to see what he would do in the first quarter. I still like Raymond Sanders, but, you know, I'd like to see what he could do in the first quarter.
Yeah, there's no reason that you can't get him some carries. I mean, sharing the load, that's become a fairly typical practice in football.
I
kind of
would like
days.
To see him before Jonathan George because, sorry for Jonathan George, he's just not spectacular
right.
to me. He's okay. You know he's going to get 2 or 3 yards. You know he can catch the ball and get a couple yards. But JoJo Kemp is transformational. And we're not even talking about DeSean Mobley. There's a lot of running back. I think we're set at running back for years and years to come. And I wonder what they're going to do. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see some transfers. DeSean Mobley might transfer. I'm really surprised some of these running backs who have committed have not decided to reopen up their commitment because I'll tell you, one guy we're not even talking about is Josh Clemens because he's been injured, but that guy's an SEC back too.
Right.
Hasn't played it down. So JoJo Kemp is a bright spot. I thought Max Smith was getting it going. Obviously, Javis Blue is a playmaker. I mean, that guy is legit. Alex Montgomery, Ryan Timmons, the new guys are everything we needed. I wonder if we had had DeMarco Robinson, if that would have helped the offense. But we can't go back and replay the game.
Right.
So, overall, ecstatic. I think Louisville, if we're being honest, if they're being realistic, has to be a little bit worried about national championship, because this was on ESPN, a noon game. Most of the East Coast saw it. And you didn't play great. I mean, you didn't play great at all.
No, I think...
So if there's three undefeated, if it's Oregon, if there's four undefeated teams, let's just say Ohio State, who has an easy schedule, goes undefeated. Alabama goes through their season undefeated. Their biggest test probably was this past weekend, and they survived against Johnny Football. And Oregon, who put a whooping on Tennessee like none other. Let's say all four of them plus Louisville go undefeated. I think you look at this game and you say, well, Louisville doesn't deserve to be in the national championship game over Oregon or Ohio State.
Absolutely not. Plus, all three of those other teams are going to play a
tougher schedule.
Well, they're going to play a conference championship game against a really good team. Their strength of schedule is going to get a huge bump right at the end of the year, whereas Louisville isn't. I don't even know if the AAC plays a conference championship game.
I don't
game.
Think they do. I
but
think
does
you have
it
to
matter?
12.
Who no, are they going to no. play in it?
Well, Cincinnati, you know? Which is their last game. That's their de facto championship game.
Right.
Is Cincinnati.
But no, I think you saw Louisville's championship hopes and Teddy Bridgewater's Heisman hopes take a huge hit on Saturday.
This is arguably the best team. Kentucky's the worst team in the SEC, if we're being honest.
Sure.
And Louisville beat them by 14 points. That was a lot closer than most people expected. The defense held them in check. Teddy Bridgewater had an awful first half. I don't think anybody, even Charlie Strong, will agree you didn't have the best first half.
I think you were 8 of 15 or something like that in the
first half. Was completely rattled because, you know, Kentucky's defensive ends were almost as fast as he were. Flushed him out of the pocket. He's not a running quarterback. He's mobile. We saw him take off for a few runs.
There's a difference.
There is a difference. He's not a running quarterback. He'd rather throw the ball even on the run. So
he's the opposite of what we were just talking about with Whitlow.
Exactly. Whitlow's going to go through his first read, his second read, and then he's tucking and going.
Right.
You know, Bridgewater's going to go through all five of his reads, and then if they're still tied up, he'll scramble. So overall, I think progress, best defensive effort I've seen in years.
Yeah.
Offense has a lot to go. You know, I look at this game and say, after the Western game, completely pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, 2-10 season.
And
Jesus.
Western, my gosh.
Oh, South Alabama. I don't even want to talk about that. It's just that game is passed. It was Stoops' first game. We didn't have it together. It's night and day from that game for me.
Tennessee crushes Western. Oregon absolutely crushes Tennessee. And we were just talking about at the end of the year with undefeated teams, Oregon and Louisville. I mean, if you just want to base it on what we've seen so far in the first three weeks.
Louisville doesn't pass the eye test.
No, not at all.
And that eye test is going to be crucial. So, anyways, overall, great, I think, great effort by it. You can call moral victories, and I think we still can at UK, but we're not good enough to if we can't get real victories.
I think right now, yeah, we still have the right to claim some moral victories at this point.
Moral victory this past weekend for sure.
Yep.
Now, while we're still on this topic, let's talk about player of the game.
Okay.
I have one in particular for Kentucky.
Go for it.
I think without this player, none of this as close as it is, absolutely does not happen. That's Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah,
this guy is leading the nation in sacks, absolutely was blowing up Louisville's left tackle. Louisville had to start chipping him with the H-back just to get him to stop. Almost got injured, had to come out.
Yep.
But this guy's a beast. I mean, he's not on Clowney's level, but I'm at the point now where I'm worried that Kentucky will not have Za'Darius Smith for his senior season. I mean, he might be a one-and-done in football.
Yeah. I never thought of that. But, yeah, if he keeps playing like he is, he's going to get plenty of time here in the next few weeks to show us what he's really got in the tank.
Yeah, if he can get some sacks against South Carolina, against Florida, against Alabama.
Georgia.
This guy's going pro.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but he's going pro.
Yeah.
That's okay, though, because we saw Jason Hatcher at linebacker doing big things. You got Trayvon Pascal. So we're pretty deep, but this guy is a difference maker. Who is your player of the game? Louisville side, Kentucky side, whoever you want it to be.
I'm going to go with Avery Williamson, middle linebacker.
Solid pick.
Yeah, he had 15 tackles. He was hurt. I think he hurt his wrist in the game.
From all those tackles.
Yeah. Had some tackles for loss, I think. And actually, he was the second leading tackler in the SEC last season. So he's building on a good season. But, yeah, he was all over the field. He was the heart and soul of the defense as far as that goes. I mean, the line played great, but he was everywhere. I mean, 15 tackles. That's an incredible performance. And I'm just going to go ahead and give it to him.
Yeah, I agree. Avery Williamson, that's a good pick because it seems like when Louisville couldn't get their running game started also in the first half, it was him stuffing someone in the backfield, whether it was Dyer or Perry or someone else. So I think that's a great pick. I don't know if you could have an MVP on the offensive side.
No.
To be honest with you. In Louisville, I guess it would have to be Devontae Parker.
But I'll go with him or Sonoris. I mean, he had 100 yards.
Donald Brown, I think, is their third string guy. He kind of got him
also
started.
Also had a good game. Yeah.
But we don't really care about them, so who cares about giving them any players of the game? Now, I'm going to move to our stat of the week, and it's not. It kind of has to do with Louisville. It kind of doesn't have to do with Louisville.
Okay.
This is what's shocking to me. I came across this today, and I couldn't believe it, but Kentucky is actually number three in third downs.
Defensively.
Yes, because did you see how many drops we had on the set? I mean, there's no way that's offensively. But defensive third downs. And I know that sounds weird. What do you mean defensive third downs? Kentucky has the third best defense this season when they on third down.
On third down.
Their opponents, Western, Miami, and Louisville, only have completed 23% of their third downs.
Wow.
Which is very small. I think Florida leads the nation at 14%. Florida hasn't played lost to Miami. That's a good team. But 23%, especially for Kentucky, which has always been a defensive just rollover, is amazing. And, Western, while they have suffered two losses, Bobby Petrino's not an offensive slouch. And, Louisville's not a slouch either.
Right.
So to be 23%, I think, is amazing. It's a testament to Mark Stoops and his ability to coach defense, in my opinion.
Yep.
What about yours? Do you have a stat of the week?
I do, and it's going to kind of dovetail on what you were just talking about. I mean, UK is allowing teams to convert on third down 23% of the time. That means that they're forcing punts 75% of the time.
Right.
Getting the offense back out on the field, putting the ball in the hands of their offense. Now, my stat is going to come from the Louisville game.
Okay.
And it is the fact that UK was 0-for-13 on third down.
Let me just clue the listener in. 0-for-13 is 0%.
0%. 0% of the time did Kentucky convert a third down. So Louisville took a page out of that Kentucky defense. I think they did convert a couple fourth downs, maybe.
They did. I think they were maybe 3-for-4, if maybe 4-for-4.
I remember a couple for sure. Yeah. But 0-for-13 on third down, you cannot win the game.
You can't win any game.
No, you can't. You got to give your defense time to rest. And I mean,
so in your scenario, Kentucky is making other teams punt, and then Kentucky is turning around and immediately punting.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe in the long run, it'll help that defensive statistic because they're going to get more chances to make stops on third down. But I mean, my gosh, come on, let's convert one.
Well, and to play off that, I absolutely think when Louisville did start moving the ball in the second half, the defense was just absolutely worn out.
Yeah.
I mean, they were still hitting the running back at the line of scrimmage or 1 yard off. They were just they're tired. They were huffing and puffing. So the offense has to put it together. That is going to be the biggest work in progress. If the offense can click, I am once again optimistic that we could get maybe not a Mississippi State. I think that's too soon. But you could trip up a Missouri.
Sure.
A Tennessee, a Vanderbilt, although Vanderbilt still looks like a strong squad.
Yeah, they're good.
Gave South Carolina all they could handle. So you could still trip someone up if the offense could put it together like they did against Miami of Ohio, but that's yet to be seen.
I'm more confident about that than I was this time last week. And that is for sure.
The funny thing is I think most people thought that Kentucky was going to be – you hear air raid in Kentucky. I thought, every game's going to be 45-41. Well, Stoops, we apparently forgot, was a defensive coach. He reminded us this week. Any final thoughts before we move from that weird-shaped football into the round ball discussion here? Any more thoughts on the game? We have a bye week, so Florida is more than a week away, and we'll get to them next week. But any final thoughts on the Louisville game?
No. I mean, again, I come away from it very pleased. I think they showed a lot of heart out there. They came out ready to play from the get-go. I think as the season goes on, let's talk you know, about this again in 2 or 3 weeks, and let's see what kind of team Louisville is. And then we'll know if Kentucky has made some drastic improvements from week one to this past Saturday, or we'll know if maybe the Louisville bubble has burst a little bit. But still, very, very pleased.
All right. Well, now that we've put the UK-UofL game to rest and basketball's on the horizon, we'll get to that in a minute. This was a pretty good week in college football. I know this is the podcast, but I feel a little absent-minded, or that we were failing you, the listener, if we didn't talk about this great week in college football.
Sure, and a great week it was.
Notably, Alabama, Texas A&M, which I think lived up to every hype that you could possibly have about the game.
What did you think was going to happen when it was 14-0?
You know, I never thought Alabama was going to lose again. Saban just doesn't do that. If it had gone 21-0, maybe I'd change my mind, but I could see Alabama getting down 14-0. I just knew that something was going to change. They're just so talented.
Ripped off 35 straight.
Yeah, I mean, so Alabama is clearly my favorite to repeat as national champions, have been the whole year. I think their best competition is Oregon, not Ohio State.
I agree.
But, yeah, that game lived up to everything. I mean, Manziel probably could have been a little bit more of a villain. You know, I liked...
Love him or hate him, he is exciting.
I love him. I know everyone hates him, but I love him. He's like a good wrestling heel.
Yeah,
I want him to. He was kind of like Hulk Hogan, you know, doing that exactly. NWO turn. You know, he came out. He was a Heisman winner. He was a pretty boy. He was a good old boy. And in this summer, he ripped off the. He put on the black and white and NWO.
Yeah, he is a
Johnny
heel.
Manziel. You know, it's just one of those things. And I love it. I love in that Rice game. He was making the money signs. Yeah. He signed the autograph. I wish he would have done that during the Alabama game. Unfortunately, I think after getting up 14-0, he didn't really have a chance to. But he did everything. Him throwing 4 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
The play where he escaped about 5 sacks and just threw the ball straight in the air and the guy...
Yeah,
miraculously catches it.
People talk about how he's not going to be an NFL quarterback. Someone better draft him, because the guy's a baller. He might be like 5'2 and 140 pounds soaking wet. I don't know what his actual stats are. He's not tall.
He could start for the Jaguars today.
Yeah, well, they should draft him. Go ahead. They want Tebow. So, anyways, that was a great game. That lived up to the hype, you know, except not SEC defense, but that's okay,
right.
You know.
Right.
That was a great game. Absolutely loved that. Another team that I thought has been a sleeper all year, apparently broke their sleeper status this weekend. Another SEC team went into Texas.
The Rebels.
And won.
Yeah.
What's up with Ole Miss?
Put a whooping on the Horns.
They're down, but Texas is one of those programs that you talk about historically. I mean, Texas, Oklahoma,
sure.
USC, Notre Dame.
I think Ole Miss is on the rise. I think they have some incredible upside right now.
Yeah, I would like for us to get to where Ole Miss is.
Sure.
Funny thing I thought about after the Ole Miss game, you know, Texas breaking in a new defensive coordinator. Ole Miss head coach Hugh Freeze said that he only saw one play the whole game where Texas's defense was different from previous weeks. Just fired your defensive coordinator, nothing changes, you lose again. Did you even make a change?
Big belief in some continuity down there.
Yeah, so Mack Brown probably on his way out.
Yeah, I think the writing's on the wall. He's gone.
Yeah, we talked about that. So Charlie Strong.
Yeah, again.
Maybe ringing his bell.
Going to be some opportunities at the end of the year.
And I would rather him go to Texas than Florida, to be honest with you. Listen, for everything I don't like about UofL, I have to give Charlie Strong props. He's a phenomenal coach.
Yes, he is. He is great.
Some other good games.
Akron-Michigan was the game of the day.
Oh, Akron got robbed.
Poor Akron. Terry Bowden, the Akron coach, an unrecognizable Terry Bowden.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was.
But now in the MAC, and Akron should have won that game.
You know, if you thought home cooking was dead in 2013, the Michigan-Akron game serves to say, if you haven't seen that, draw up the last Akron drive, okay? They have, like... supposed to be first and goal with 6 seconds left. They absolutely get screwed.
The referees might as well have been wearing maize and blue striped shirts.
I think they were, actually. And then Tennessee got a good old butt whooping at Oregon.
Hung tough at first and just thought maybe, hey, some SEC-style smash-mouth football. Maybe this isn't something that Oregon's quite used to. And then I glanced over my shoulder, and it was like 59-10.
Yeah, Oregon doesn't need – unless it's Alabama or LSU or someone who's good – Oregon's good enough to beat your run-of-the-mill SEC team, and that's what Tennessee is. So.
Right.
Great week in college football. I think the Vandy-South Carolina game was not a sleeper at all. Vandy come back, really challenged South Carolina. So, overall, another great college football season. I just thought we'd be remiss if we didn't
mention
that.
Sure, yeah, we got to touch on it.
Yeah, because, you know, Kentucky's not winning any national championships this year, and I know we watch other games, and we're keeping it in the SEC and everything else. So, okay, now it's time, the long-awaited, I think what Kentucky's really known for, basketball.
Finally.
They started practice. They finally started practice. It's been moved up a little bit. It used to be that Big Blue Madness was the first practice.
Yeah, it used to be October 15th.
That's not college basketball anymore. So they've recently, I think just this week, I think maybe Sunday even was their first. They're allowed 1 to 2 hours, I think, for drills or instruction with the coaching staff. Coach Cal, on his website, coachcal.com, did a little video, if you haven't seen it, talking about the first practice. And overall, he didn't have a lot to say, but there was one point I thought that was funny in this little two-minute video. He said that one of the first things they worked on was lob passes, which I think that's kind of hilarious that the first thing you work on is
that's a staple of our offense.
Well, the past 2 years, with Anthony Davis and Nerlens Noel, I guess, you know, most people run, you know, I don't know, what do they run? The triangle two? I don't what offense? High screens, you know, whatever it is. Keep away. Oh, Dean Smith's no longer in
the four corners.
Right, four corners, keep away. But apparently Kentucky has an offensive play in the dribble drive called the lob. So the funny thing was is apparently UK's new point guards have not yet mastered the lob, according to Coach Cal. Apparently there was a little bit of trouble. The shot clock may have been a little messed up, which is pretty high for a lob.
Throwing high.
Yeah, so I don't know. I know we've got some players this year. Do you think they can jump high enough to dunk it from the shot clock?
From what I hear, Marcus Lee might be able to go up there and get those.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to see this kid.
Yeah, he's going to have to convert his volleyball kill into going up and taking that ball off the shot clock. And
you think Julius Randle can catch? You think either, instead of just bouncing off the backboard, they'll bounce it off the shot clock, which I think is technically out of bounds, but maybe just bounce it off the shot clock and Randle can just cram it every time?
I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, we're excited about basketball season. Who isn't excited about basketball season? It's 40. Every time I turn around, it seems like it's going to be 40-0, and we're going to win our ninth championship. Oddly enough, that seems kind of realistic this year.
It does.
We're not going to – it's way too early to preview – absolutely game-by-game basketball, but what is your feeling? I mean, we're joking here, maybe not joking about 40-0, but tell me, this is a heralded recruiting class, as always. This might be a lot better, but Kentucky is coming off an NIT loss. You know, we saw last year what happens when a team does not gel, when a talented team does not gel. So what is your feeling just very top of the iceberg about this basketball season now that practice has started?
I am extremely excited. I think the caliber of group that we've got coming in this year is just completely different than last year. So I'm not going to get too hung up and too worried about the chemistry of a bunch of new guys. It didn't work out last year, and is that, you know, a red flag about the one and done system? I'm not really worried about that. And one thing that I had been harping on all through the spring was that I would have rather had Julius Randle than Wiggins to complement the rest of the players on this team. Obviously, a player like Randle or Wiggins doesn't complement the other players.
Right.
But I think Julius Randle fits into what we needed more than an Andrew Wiggins. So I was happy that Randle came to Lexington. I wasn't too crushed when Wiggins decided to go to Kansas. I think we've got all the pieces. We're going to have a gigantic front line, plenty of guys out on the wing.
Oh yeah,
not a lot of depth at the guard position, but I think we've got enough guys that are kind of tweeners that are gonna be able to.
Well, point guard. I mean, you've got, God love him, you got Jared Polson.
Sure. And who proved without a doubt he can play last year.
And you've got the kid who's also a freshman who's coming in,
the Mr. Basketball from Kentucky.
Right. So I mean, that kid,
I heard it was going to be hard to keep him off the court.
He's, yeah. I mean, apparently he is holding his own. So maybe the two guard position, I could see that. I mean, sure. You don't really have you have the Harrison twin there, but after that, I'm not really sure what you have there.
But all in all, totally excited, as excited maybe as I've ever been.
Maybe since we have all this, I guess if Randall can dribble the ball, if not, maybe you just have the point guard Harrison twin. And then you just go big, play like four centers. Yeah. You got four centers, right?
Collie Stein, three or four. Johnson, and
yeah, Marcus Lee, and yeah. Then just throw Randall in there just sure. for fun, and sure. you know, sure. that would be a fun. You want to talk about twin towers? That's what I mean. Triplets,
yeah. And this, I mean, this class coming in so good, everything. It's like Poythress is almost the forgotten man. If he can make any kind of a leap, an improvement from a freshman to a sophomore, I mean. Look out. No one's even really talking about him, and he has all the potential in the world. I mean, if we get anything out of him, I mean, it's just going
to
be unbelievable.
He's got the body to be a man among boys. It just depends if he has the mentality.
I would assume that he's going to be challenged in practice a lot more this year than he was last year, and that can't do anything.
You think Julius Randle will have that effect on him? A little bit?
That's kind of what I had in mind. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, just super excitement.
Well, I think the Big Blue Nation is excited for basketball. Of course we are. This is what we're known for. Is basketball. All the kudos in the world to the football team, which is recovering, which is rebuilding. But basketball is a fit. Once they practice, I feel like it's actually safe to say, without being disrespectful to football, that basketball is upon us. Mm. So as we get these practice reports, as they continue to ramp up to Big Blue Madness and then the season, we can talk more and more about basketball. I know that's what everyone loves. I love it as well. And we can hang banner number 9 here at Louisville.am, and we'll put 9 banners all across the walls, and hopefully no one
great.
Else. Yeah, I know. I mean, they got blue in the colors, so it'll
yeah.
fit in.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on basketball?
I had a little decommitment over the weekend.
From Kentucky?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No one decommits from Kentucky.
So, you know, all this momentum that you've heard about Louisville athletics over the last couple of years, I mean, and it's all you talk about, you know, Tom Jurich is the mastermind.
The year of the Cardinal.
Yes, exactly. But. This weekend, got the win in football. Nothing to really brag about too much. And then you have Jaquan Lyle decommit from the Cards over the weekend. Kind of a surprise. A little concerned about playing time, I think.
They are quote unquote loaded at guard, which
right.
That's what people say, but really I think they just have a lot of bodies at guard.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that they're absolutely loaded.
Not quite as loaded as they were.
Right. So that's interesting. I think what happened with Louisville is that, and of course I don't talk to these recruits, so I don't know for sure, but this is my observation. I think what happened was is they won the national championship and everyone wanted to jump on board, as they should, because
sure.
You know, you got
Makes
an offer
sense.
From a national championship, the national champion. Yeah, man, that's great. They're obviously doing something right. And now I think these recruits are starting. They're starting to rethink things. They're starting to think clearly again. It's not just that Louisville's the national champion. They already have a lot of guards. Why are they recruiting these other guards if they have already got a commitment from me? You know, am I the right fit for Patino's system? I think the, you know, rose-colored glasses, for lack of a better term, are starting to fall off these recruits. And Louisville is starting to see, unfortunately, for them, not for Kentucky, they're losing these guys.
Yeah. Guys are starting to realize that they need to keep their options open. And, you know, an early commit, you know, 17, 18-year-old kid, you know, they're going to change their minds sometimes.
Right. And some of these guys committed when they were, like, freshmen and sophomores in high school. I think one guy did that and decommitted. So, you know, it's a changing game. But you know what? I don't really feel bad for Louisville about that.
I don't either.
So, all right. That's it for us this week. We will be back next week talking about the Kentucky-Florida game. Let's see what the injury report is. You know, can we break that losing streak against Florida? Hallelujah. I hope so. But
this
I'm
will
not
be the year.
Break. I'm not holding my breath at all. And then, you know, as we get more stuff out of the basketball, we'll talk about that as well, the week in college football. I'm Kenny Colston.
Chris Little.
Go Cats.